Welcome to our Monday Messages podcast. This podcast is brought to you by A.T. Stewart Ministries. I'm your host, A.T. Stewart. We're looking at the incomparable Christ. There is none who compares with Jesus. He stands alone in all of human history. Join me as we look at our incomparable Christ.
Today we're starting a series on the incomparable Christ. Now what do I mean by incomparable? Well, let me just share with you N. Carter's dictionary's definition of incomparable. Unequaled in quality. So excellent, outstanding, or unique as to have no equal. Impossible to compare with something else. Impossible to compare with something else because there is no basis for comparison. Now, according to that definition, you can only use incomparable when you're talking about God. It can only be used accurately and truthfully when we're talking about God. Because our God alone is the one who is so great, there is no basis for comparison. Our God alone is the one to whom it can be said He has no equal. And so we are going to look at the incomparable Christ. Now look over in Matthew chapter 9. Because today we're going to look at the incomparable Christ, the trash collector. The incomparable Christ, the trash collector. And over in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, we're going to see Jesus collecting trash. Maybe you've never noticed this before. Maybe you thought you've read the Bible through and through, but never saw Jesus collecting trash. We'll see if you can see it in this passage today. Matthew 9, beginning with verse 9. In respect for the Word of God, let me ask you to stand. As Jesus went on from there, He saw a man called Matthew sitting in the tax collector's booth. And He said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. Then it happened that as Jesus was reclining at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were dining with Jesus and His disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to His disciples, "Why is your teacher eating with the tax collectors and sinners?" But when Jesus heard this, He said, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." You may be seated. Did you see it? Did you see Jesus collecting the trash of humanity? You see, Jesus came to collect trash. Jesus not only came to collect trash, but Jesus came to recycle trash. And Jesus loves trash. Those are the three things I want you to see today. That Jesus came to be a trash collector, not a fine art dealer. Jesus came to be a trash collector, not a fine art dealer. And it's seen in no place more apparently than in Jesus' call for Matthew to be one of His disciples. Now notice over in chapter 10 of Matthew, where the disciples of Jesus are listed, that Matthew is the only disciple whose occupation is attached to his name. Beginning in verse 2 of Matthew 10. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew his brother, and James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. Now, if there had been two Matthews, we might have seen why he added that Matthew was the tax collector to distinguish him from the other Matthew who was a disciple. But there is only one Matthew who's a disciple. So why is it that Holy Scripture attaches his work, his occupation, to his name? Because Jesus wants to show that he came to collect the trash of humanity. In Jesus' day, the tax collector was at the bottom of the ladder. He was the scum of the earth. He was the bottom of the barrel. He was a bottom feeder. The Jews considered the tax collector to be a traitor, to be an extortionist, and to be a thief. You see, the tax collector in Jesus' day, first of all, worked for the Roman government. You remember the Romans came in and took over Palestine, and they set up their government there, and they allowed the Jews to have some government affairs and their religious matters, but Pilate and the other Roman soldiers there, they were the ones who were actually in control. Well, the Romans required that the Jews pay taxes. Now, the Jews, first of all, hated paying taxes to the Romans. They hated paying taxes to this invading army, as you would if somebody came and invaded our country and required that we pay taxes. Well, the Jews contracted with, the Romans contracted with some Jewish men called tax collectors, and it was their responsibility to collect taxes from their fellow Jews and pay it to the Roman government. And so the Jews considered these tax collectors, first of all, to be traitors. They were in cahoots with the Roman government, the invading forces. Now, secondly, the tax collector had authority to levy taxes on his fellow Jews pretty much without oversight from anyone. The Jews were at his mercy. He sees you walking up the street, and he sees you with a new watch, and he says, let me see that watch you got on there. That looks pretty expensive. I think I'm going to assess you $100 tax on that watch. And you'd have to pay. But he would give the Roman government maybe $20, and he would pocket the other $80. He was at his booth. They would set up booths there in the place where the traders would walk in the pathway, kind of the market street, and as people would come by, they would go out and stop them, and they would assess taxes on their goods, whether it be fish or other things, and then they would pocket what was left over. And so they were extortionists. They would extort the Jewish people, and the Jewish people could do nothing about it. They were at their mercy. And so you can see why the Jewish people hated these tax collectors. They were thieves, they were extortionists, they were traitors. In fact, they were hated so much they were barred from even going to the synagogue. They were forbidden from having any religious or social contact with fellow Jews. They were classified among the unclean animals. The tax collectors were grouped with the pigs and the buzzards. They couldn't even give testimony in court. They were considered to be so bad in the Jewish court. Now, that's not the type of person you would choose to be one of your disciples if you were going to be a fine art dealer. But if you came to collect the trash of humanity, that would be exactly the kind of person you would choose to be one of your disciples. And so Jesus came to collect trash. Secondly, Jesus came to recycle trash. Verse 9, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and he followed him. You see, Jesus was in the business of recycling long before it became a fad. He collects the trash. He tells Matthew, "Follow me." Now notice the grace of God. Jesus approaches Matthew. He did not wait for Matthew to approach him. Now, there are times in Scripture where people came up to Jesus, but in this case, Jesus came to Matthew. Why? Matthew couldn't come to Jesus, remember? He was a traitor. He was an extortionist. He couldn't have anything to do with the Jewish people, much less a righteous teacher like Jesus. He wouldn't think of coming up to Jesus, but Jesus, who came to collect trash, who came to recycle trash, comes up to Matthew and says, "Matthew, follow me." Now, when Jesus spoke the word, he gave the effectual call, and his words went out in power and converted Matthew's soul. The same power that went forth in the words of Jesus when he cast out demons, when he healed the sick, when he called Lazarus out of the tomb, is the same power that went forth when he said, "Matthew, follow me," and it converted the soul of Matthew and made him a new creature in Christ. Because Jesus not only comes to collect trash, but he comes to recycle trash. Now, over in Luke's gospel, he makes it clear that Matthew was recycled. We read in verse 27 and 28 there, talking about this same occasion, as Luke talks about it. He says, "After that, he went out and noticed a tax collector named Levi sitting in the tax booth. And he said to him, 'Follow me.' And he left everything behind and got up and began to follow him." Look at that. Matthew left everything behind. He left his lucrative business behind and followed Jesus. He left his livelihood behind and followed Jesus. He gave up his sinful ways and followed Jesus. He turned from his old way of life and followed Jesus completely. You see, when Jesus collects trash, he always recycles. Jesus calls sinners, he calls rotten people, he calls wicked people, but he calls them to repent. When Jesus brings people to himself, he brings them to himself so he can make them new. If any man be in Christ, Paul said, he is a new creation. He is a new creature. Old things have passed away, behold, comes the new. Now, repentance is a term that too often is left out of gospel presentations in our day because some consider the word to be offensive. Because if I tell you to repent, that means you must be doing something wrong. You must be sinning and you need to repent. And some people say, well, you don't want to offend people. You're trying to get them into the church, not run them off. And so rather than say, hey, you know, you're a sinner and you need to repent, rather say, you know, God loves you. God loves you and He has an abundant life in store for you. Why don't you come to Jesus and enjoy the abundant life He has for you? The first word that Jesus spoke when He came to preach is the word repent. Look over in the gospel. Because Jesus came to collect the trash of humanity and to say to them, repent! Turn away from your wicked ways and follow me. Be recycled. Let my power come in and convert your soul and give you the power to walk in righteousness before me. Not come to Jesus and have a better life. It's come to Jesus and have your sins forgiven so you will not have to spend eternity in hell. You know, when you tell people come to Jesus and have a better life, and they come to Jesus and things get worse, I don't know about you folks, it's gotten worse for me since I can become a Christian, because I was six when I became one, so wasn't a whole lot it could get better. But, you know, I think that's a misleading thing. Because when you tell people you've got a better life, they're thinking, well, I'm not going to have problems, right? I'm going to get that raise at work, right? Nothing's going to break down. And you've heard people say, I don't understand why this is happening to me. I'm a Christian. Why is God letting this stuff happen to me? And somewhere along the way, that person got the idea if they came to Christ, they were coming for a better life rather than coming to be rescued from the fires of hell and to have their sins forgiven and to walk in holiness. God never said we would have happiness. He's more concerned about our holiness. And it is through the adversity and the trials that we grow in holiness, is it not? So when we proclaim the gospel, when Christ proclaimed the gospel, he said, repent. Turn away from your wicked ways, turn to Christ in faith, and be forgiven, and have eternal life. So Jesus collects trash, Jesus recycles trash, and Jesus loves trash. Look at verse 10. Then it happened that as Jesus was reclining at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were dining with Jesus and his disciples. You see the picture? Matthew gets so excited that he's saved, he wants all of his friends to meet Jesus. And so he goes out and brings all of his friends in and he throws a party. Well, who are Matthew's friends? Right. Other tax collectors and sinners. Now, you see this term, sinners, it was a technical term used to people that had no regard for the laws of Moses. People who are totally irreligious. It was a term used to refer to prostitutes and drunkards and murderers and liars. They were all grouped into this term, sinners. And so when Matthew had a party, the only friends he had and the only people that would come were trash. That's all. Now, the question was, would Jesus sit down and have fellowship and eat with this trash of humanity? That was a question that the Pharisees put to Jesus' disciples when they said, why is your teacher eating with these tax collectors and sinners? You see, they taught that if you were a religious person, you didn't have anything to do with trash. I mean, you kept your life straight and you only hung around other people who were as religious as you were. That's what the religious leader said. So why would Jesus, who was a religious person, spend time with trash? Because he loves trash. That's why. Look at what Jesus tells the Pharisees, his answer to them. He gives three answers. First, Jesus says, because it's trash that needs recycling, not fine art. You don't recycle fine art. It's trash that you recycle. Look at verse 12. But Jesus heard this, he said, is it not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick? It's the sick people who need a doctor, not well people. What would you think about a doctor that said, I can't stand sick folks? I don't want anything to do with sick folks. I don't even want to be around sick folks. I just want to be around well people. What kind of doctor is that? Well, what kind of trash collector is it that doesn't want to be around trash? I'm a trash collector, but I don't want to be around trash. I don't like trash. What kind of Savior is it that avoids sinners? Jesus is spending His time with those who need Him and know that they need Him. Those who know they're trash and know they needed to be recycled. Those are the ones that He's spending His time with. Second thing Jesus says is He's spending time with these rejects of society because God desires compassion more than religious activities. He says, but go and learn what this means. I desire compassion, not sacrifice. You see, the Pharisees were totally out of step with God. They thought what God wanted was their religious activities. You know, if they went to the synagogue regularly, if they gave their tithes, if they studied the scriptures, if they did these things and prayed, they were right with God. And stayed away from trash. Don't want to get stained. They were right with God. And Jesus said to them, you have missed the heart of God. What God desires more than your religious activities, more than you going to church, more than you giving your offerings, is He desires you to have compassion on those who are lost and need Him. He desires for you to have His heart, His compassion for people, to love these hurting people as He loves them. God wants us to love the trash of society because He loves them. Third thing, Jesus eats with these sinners because He came for the purpose of calling such people to salvation. He says in verse 13, "For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Jesus said He came to seek and save those who were lost. Jesus saves those who are lost, and they know it. Who know they stand condemned under the holy wrath of a God, and they need a Savior. No one is too bad for Jesus to save. No one is too deep in the trash of humanity, the dump heap of humanity, for Jesus to be able to recycle them. Nobody. Because He loves trash. And He loves recycling trash. Jesus can recycle a life no matter how vile or messed up it is. Now, for the remaining time together, I want us to think about which one of these in this passage do you most identify with this morning? Who in this passage do you most identify with or you most like this morning? Are you like Matthew and his friends? Are you saying, preacher, that I'm trash? I'm not a thief. I'm not a liar. I'm not a murderer. I'm not an adulterer. Well, have you ever told a lie? Ever in your life told a lie? Or does that make you a liar? Have you ever stolen anything at all? Ever? Taken something that was not yours? Or what does that make you? A thief. Have you ever had hatred in your heart towards somebody? You know what Jesus says? If you have hatred in your heart, you're a murderer. Have you ever lusted after somebody? Jesus says if you have lust in your heart, you're an adulterer. So by your own admission, you're a liar and a thief and a murderer and an adulterer. Well, I want you to know before I came to Christ and got recycled, buddy, I was just trash. That's what I was. And you know what the Bible tells me? Everybody is trash before Jesus recycles them. Right? The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. That's another way of saying everybody's trash when it comes to moral issues, spiritual issues. Bible says, as none righteous, no, not one. It says, for the wages of sin is death. So you see, we're all trash before we come to Christ. You see, the Pharisees didn't know they were trash. They wouldn't admit it. Now maybe you're getting a little bowled up. I don't want being called trash. But the Pharisees would be right with you there. They didn't like being called trash either. In fact, they were convinced they were fine art. And so they would not come to Jesus to be recycled. You see, you've got to realize you're trash before you'll ever come to Christ to be recycled. You've got to see yourself the way God sees you. Your best deeds you could ever dream up are nothing but filthy rags in His sight. The best thing you can think of doing, He says, man, that's just filth in my sight. Because we're trash, we need to come to Jesus and be recycled. But praise God, He is in the recycling business. We come and say, Jesus, I'm trash. But You're the recycler and I need to be recycled. And I come and ask You to forgive me of my sins and recycle me. Make me new in You. I want to follow You. Convert my soul. He recycles you and you become a new creature. You go from being trash to being treasure that quick. Trash. treasure. Maybe you're the most like Jesus. You love trash too. And you're in the recycling business. You have compassion for people who do not know Jesus. You have a deep burden to share God's love with everyone. You have God's love for these people. And you are intentionally making friendships with those who do not know Christ in order that you might share the love of Christ with them, that you might introduce them to the great recycler of souls. You're going outside your comfort zone to be around those who need Jesus. Your life is bringing people to Jesus. I mean, you have people, names of people, people you know that you're praying for regularly, that you're seeking at work or in your neighborhood or maybe at the ball field, but you are purposely building relationships with these people for the purpose of sharing with them the love of Christ and bringing them to the recycler of their souls. So maybe you're most like Jesus today. Or maybe you're the most like the Pharisees. Truth is, you really don't care if those around you are going to hell. You just want to make sure you're doing the right thing. If you're going to church, if you're giving your offerings, that you're studying your Bible, and that you're praying. That's what you're concerned about. But the truth is, you don't really have any compassion on the trash of humanity. You do not have any love or compassion for those in our community who do not know Jesus. Let somebody else care. I'm too busy. Your heartbeat is totally out of sync with Jesus' heartbeat. You've forgotten that Jesus' love for these people. You've forgotten His willingness to die for these people. Do you really care that there are thousands of people within walking distance of this church that do not know Christ, and if they died today, they would spend eternity in hell? Do you really care that there are people in your neighborhood who are without Christ, bound for an eternity in hell? That there are people on your street who do not know Christ, who are bound for an eternity in hell? Do you care there are people maybe next door to you who do not know Christ and are bound for eternity in hell? Oh yeah, preacher, I care. Well, how much do you care? Do you care enough to give 1 hour a month in your busy schedule to reach out to the people in this community with Christ's love? Do you care enough to carve out 1 hour in your already crowded schedule a month to intentionally seek to be involved in bringing people to the great recycler of their souls?